Hi, this is John Davis, John Davis Political Report. It is Friday, August 20th, 2010. Late-breaking trends. North Carolina's daily partisan political advantage forecast. Week in review. This week ended as it began, with Republicans enjoying favorable political wins in their sails. On Tuesday, I pointed out that underemployment, which includes Americans who are unemployed and those who are working part-time but wanting full-time work, is over 18%. Among Americans without college degrees, 23%. Among young people in the 18 to 29-year-old age range, underemployment is at 28%. But the most startling number is this one. Almost 4 in 10 of the youngest of the young voters, those 18 to 24 years old, are underemployed. Those voters, filled with enthusiasm in 2008 because of the inspiring campaign of President Obama, are now disenchanted. Compounding the negative fallout for Democrats of high underemployment is a lack of job security among those who are employed. Almost 40% worried that their benefits are going to be reduced. 1 in 4 worried that they're going to be laid off or that they'll have to accept a cut in pay. The takeaway, voters who are underemployed or those who lack job security are going to do one of two things this November. They're not going to vote or they're going to vote against the establishment, the Democrats. We also saw this week that Obama's job approval is plummeting, reaching a new weekly average low, according to Real Clear Politics. Today, Friday, August the 20th, Gallup has Obama's job approval at only 41%, with 52% of Americans disapproving. It's no wonder that we're also seeing enthusiasm trending more favorably for Republicans. This week, 44% of Republicans told Gallup that they were very enthusiastic about voting this fall. Democrats, only 28%. Wealthy liberals sitting on their wallets. According to a story in today's Politico, the Democratic Party's lack of enthusiasm is a donor phenomenon as well. Listen to this quote. Democratic operatives trying to raise money for expensive ad campaigns report that the wealthy liberals who wrote huge checks to independent groups for advertising campaigns in the past three election cycles are sitting on their wallets. The article attributes the decline in liberal money to the lingering recession and the absence of a single unifying enemy like President George W. Bush. They also attribute the phenomena to the tension between the White House and organized labor. Politico writer Kenneth Vogel notes that 7 out of 10 of the largest independent expenditure Democratic-leaning groups from the past three election cycles are behind in their fundraising. Some by a wide margin. Speaking of feuding among Democrats, especially with regards to labor unions, we're beginning to see some of that in North Carolina. The growing tension with the White House and labor became very apparent in Arkansas in June when unions spent over $3 million trying to defeat Senator Blanche Lincoln. She had the blessings of the White House. Why did they try to do that? She didn't support their agenda. After being criticized by the White House for their failed effort to defeat Lincoln, AFL-CIO spokesman Eddie Vail said, quote, "Labor isn't an arm of the Democratic Party," end quote. Those are feuding words. We have seen similar tension grow this year between organized labor in North Carolina and the state Democratic Party. SENIC, State Employees Association, affiliated with the Service Employees International Union, worked with that union to create a new political party in North Carolina called North Carolina First. Why? They want to teach the state's three conservative Democratic U.S. congressmen a lesson because they voted against the union position on Obama's health care bill. Historically, it's the Republicans who have diluted their political effectiveness with internal feuding. This year, it's the Democrats. This week, we saw evidence of that split in the Democratic Party when Dana Cope, head of Scenic, attacked former state party chairman Ken Udy for, quote, pay-to-play politics because Udy, who has received numerous lucrative state contracts, is planning a fundraiser at his home featuring North Carolina Senate Democratic caucus leaders. About the accusation of pay-to-play impropriety, Senate Majority Leader Martin Nesbitt from Buncombe County said, quote, "You can't deny someone the right to participate in politics simply because they do business with the state," end quote. I agree with Senator Nesbitt, but also think he should have added the following sentence. "You can deny someone business with the state if they don't participate in Democratic Party fundraisers." Democrats are masters at using the leverage of power to gain the financial advantage necessary to win the close races in years when political winds favor Republicans. But this year, their challenges are far greater. They have lost their old war general in former Senator Tony Rand. Six members of their caucus retired, leaving novice candidates in Republican-friendly territories, like the seats being vacated by Senator Hoyle from Gaston County, Senator Bozeman from New Hanover County, and Senator R.C. Soles from Columbus County. Several others in the Senate Democratic Caucus are seriously threatened, including four in seats once held by Republicans, like Senator John Snow from Cherokee County, Senator Josam Queen from Haywood County, Senator Steve Goss from Watauga County, and Senator Tony Forrest from Alamance County. All in all, if the political trends continue the Republican-friendly track of this week, we just may see Republicans make history in November with the takeover of the state Senate and House. Thanks for reading and listening to the John Davis Political Report.